Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 108, part 2, Is God With You? Today is Sunday, August 2nd, 2009. Hello, and thank you for joining Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. The month of July, starting it off with a bang. Well, the 4th of July, get that. Come to Minnesota, June, July. These are the months. The month of July, right now, we are out in our more than 10,000 lakes, boating, fishing, with our water skidoos. We are just having so much fun, and it's absolutely beautiful. And I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. And as you know, Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota. We're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikrokodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, a senior 60 years and older, or you are disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. We will fix you up. We have got lots of food. We have so much food, we don't know what to do with it all, so we want to give it to you. How about that? So be sure to visit us online, where you're not going to find any food, but you will find that you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our free food mission. So what do you think about that? Visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org. You can also join our online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to, write this down, our blog, Flickr, where you're going to see so many photos you won't know what to do with them all. The podcast. Hopefully you are subscribing and listening to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday and every Sunday. If you're not, you can't blame us for your life, okay? Subscribe to the podcast. Life Vantage. You're going to find a link to Life Vantage. That is a direct link where you can buy our product, Protandim, that reduces your oxidative stress that causes free radicals. You know you've got them. You know you've got free radicals. You need to reduce them. So let us help you. Protandim, you need to order it. Buy auto ship, save yourself some money. Start taking that one little pill every day. Fight those free radicals. Eliminate them. Check it out. Also, follow me on Twitter and I will follow you. The blog. I'm coming back to the blog. You need to go to the blog every week to see the show notes for Pastor Paul's podcast. And there you're going to find interactive links to scriptures which you know you need to read. You need to get in your Bible and start digging through these scriptures. You can't just listen to the message. Every message, we've got the scriptures. Check them out. If you need to, you can email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. And you can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or a testimony at the blog. Now, if you want to, you could make an MP3 audio testimony and email it to me. I love audio emails. In the month of July, Pastor Paul's messages are going to include these. We're starting the month off with pride, and we know that needs to be dealt with. Then we go into, we need Holy Spirit direction, and that's where you're going to get that by reading your Bible as well as listening to Pastor Paul's message. Do you have a wounded spirit? Is God with you? These are some questions and the titles of the messages you're going to hear this month, Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. Have a great month. God bless you.
A cry will bring him, Lord! A groan, oh God. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I've been thinking or dwelling on things in the spirit when I'm asleep, and I'll say, oh, I'll groan. I'll go, oh. Jan will say, what was that? I says, I don't know. It was a groaning in my spirit. You ever groan in your spirit? It's like a mother. He will never leave you when you're sick and you're miserable and you can't breathe and you're all plugged up. Huh? You know, God is likened unto the mother too, isn't he? See? And it's the same way as a mother. The dad will probably go to sleep because the mother takes over. God is just like the mother when that little baby's breathing kind of hard and kind of rasping for air, and you're putting all this different things on them, cold water baths, and you're putting alcohol and rubbing down the backs of their necks and giving them that baby aspirin or whatever you do to them and try to get them to swallow something, and they burp it up and puke all over and all that kind of stuff. And you're still with them, though. You wipe them up and clean them up, and they got diarrhea, and you're wiping here and wiping there, and you're cleaning up all over the place. Mom's always with them no matter what they do. Praise God for moms. I want to tell you. Whew. That's how God is. So I tell people, stop questioning. Stop living in the land of, I certainly hope so. You ever been around a person that always says that, I certainly hope so? Well, I really believe God is going to touch you. You're going to get healed. I certainly hope so. Hope so's. You ever been around a hope so? You ever been around a whole family of hope so's? Gonna be a nice day today. Hope so. Things will work out. Hope so. They never get into knowing. They're always hoping. Now lastly, here is an argument for you. Oh, people love to argue, don't they? This is the juicy part. Is not the Lord your God with you? Now I'll put it in this sense, an argument. I mean, brother, you know he is. Well, let me remind you. Lo, I will never leave you. No, never, no, never, no, never will I ever leave you or will I ever forsake you. So what's your complaint? What is your problem? What are you waiting on? Is not this then a reason for us to arise and be what? Oh, this is a word people don't like. Be doing? Notice how it's put in the 16th verse. Listen to it. Remember it. Remember it well. Arise therefore and be doing, and the Lord shall be with thee. Arise thee therefore and be doing, and the Lord shall be with thee. That means you got to get up and you got to get it doing, and then the Lord will be with you. Oh, you sluggards hate this, don't you? Oh, God, you hate it. It's 2:30, almost 2 o'clock, and you're still in bed. It's when the program comes on. Arise! Now, you can call up some gals, and they're, oh, no, she's taking her nap now. You can call back about 2.5 hours later, and they're still taking a nap. My God, they sleep right through They must be mad when they get. They sleep through their nap. I mean, they sleep right into the next day. Get up with their fluffies on and saunter over with the pop cans and they get over and they watch one of these old programs on TV and they just get so depressed they just fall out in an old raggedy housecoat on the Davenport. I said it and I'm glad. I'm sorry, mommy's taking her nap. Wake up, Mom! Arise! Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord shall be with thee. And so I think we ought to tell all true Christians, arise and be doing, because the Lord is with them. They ain't going to leave them. You just take your Jesus over there and your great big old pop cans in your hair and that old dirty old house coat and them fluffies and just fall out in the Davenport. He ain't going to leave you. But how can you do that when the Lord is with you? Oh, I thought to myself, let us be busy doing the Lord's work. You know what? I think lazy is a vulgar word. Is that a good word to use? Vulgar. Yeah, that's good. You won't forget that one. But to be a lazy Christian, that's undefinable. I can't define that. A lazy Christian, I cannot define. Uncomprehendable. I mean, is not the Lord your God with you? Well, some people come to church twice a week. And hear these messages, and some of you listening to them on the radio right now, probably to the tape. And then you can do nothing? I think some people are just continual feeders. How'd you like to have a cow? Go out and buy you a cow, and that cow never gave no milk, and you just had to keep feeding them all the time. And you just kept chewing and chewing. You know how they chew? They're dumb looking, aren't they? And chewing on this cud, chewing and chewing and chewing. With that sort of a sleepy, far-off look, and how their eyes are half closed. No, no. And the tail that wishes back and forth to, you know, take care of a few flies, and then someone else has to come and shovel out the dung daily. And expecting to be fed. And to that I say, come on, you old spiritual cows. Arise, therefore, and be doing, because the Lord God is with you. Back out of that stall. Leave your pew and do. Oh, I know I'm irritating people on the radio ministry, on tape ministry, because you know what? You just provoke them to do something. My God, they don't like it. But see, I'm preaching something that's way down deep inside of my spirit. And I know it just upsets people when you just preach something that's down inside of your spirit. You know what that is? That's just the spirit coming against the spirit of the Lord. Say amen, somebody. That's that lazy old Adam that lays down there in the garden, see? You don't want to get up. Takes God to find them out, don't you know that? You can't make somebody get out of their Adam if they don't want to get out of their Adam. Man, they're happy to be there, even with a fig leaf on. Of course, I know in ministering this message that every creature from the pig upward must be fed. No, please excuse me, radio audience, for mentioning such an unclean animal. For here is a creature whose principal business is to feed. He's not a nice creature at all, is he? No, not at all. Now I'll say something here that is going to smack at people. Now, I do not admire Christian people whose one business is to feed, 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 feed. Now, just close your eyes for a moment. You on the radio and to the tape, you sitting here. And imagine 5,000 hogs all dressed up. Pigs with their big snouts hanging out, and little pig eyes. And one ear up and one ear down and a hat on and a tie on, and one little pig's got a dress on, and a great big old southern, one of them big old flim-flom hats on with a big bow on. Notebooks in hands and pencils in their little hoofs, grunting with their little beady eyes, greedily waiting for more. You got the picture? You can open up your eyes now. I've heard some people grumble and grunt at a sermon that was meant for the conversion of sinners because they thought there was no feeding in them for them. No, I came in for something to eat. I don't want to hear. I don't want nobody to get saved in here. I've gone home. See, a lot of Christians are great receptacles for food. But dear Christian, you dear Christians that are listening to me on the radio, let us not become food containers only. Live only to feed and burp and feed and feed and burp and burp and feed and feed and burp and burp and feed and feed and burp and burp and feed and feed and burp. You know what will happen to you? Oh God, you'll get so bored. You know what will happen to you? You'll be so boring yourself. And you'll never be content because God ain't with you. I'm not saying you're not saved, but God isn't in it. And I thought to myself, how hollow are some of the praises to God. Your lips, and with your lips you praise me, but your hearts are far from me, and all thousands will stand, my God. And you'll see them, and you know a lot of them, and they'll stand there, and they're praising the Lord, but they're hollow praises. Man, they'll sway from side to side, and I think it's beautiful, but I think people ought to get busy too, and they're looking up, and they're like little birds, and they got their mouth open, their eyes shut. But how about turning into some kind of an eagle? Mounting up with wings set. I think it's time that Christians get up out of the nest and stop being fed all the time and start to go on out and take wing, glory to God, and start feeding others and do the work that God has called them to do by the Spirit of the Lord. Right now, God is dealing with people. They don't want to hear it. And feed and feed and feed. Know what will happen? You keep feeding like that? You'll be a cow up there, and a branch will break, and down you'll come. Never did see a cow that could fly or a pig either. Say amen, somebody. Woo! Well, I'll tell you something here. Praise and prayer are meaningless without the doing. I'm a little bit leery about someone says, well, you know, someone asked me, when do you get time to pray? I says, I pray. I don't even answer that because I pray as I go. You pray as you go. You know what I mean? You pray as you go. Doesn't it say pray without ceasing? Well, some people mean, to them that means getting in the prayer closet. And that's good to be in the prayer closet and get a time away with God every day. But they think that means praying in a prayer closet all day long. Let me tell you something. God is not going to be in that prayer closet with you all day long. It says God will be with you when you started doing. I just read it. I'm not making it up. You must be making that up. I don't like that. It's the 16th verse. Read it. But I mean, aren't there those that just intercede forever and ever, I suppose? I think there are people like, but I know there's a great many of you when you're praying, all you can think of is a ham and cheese on rye and a glass of milk. Say amen, somebody. That's the truth. Say amen. That's because you're supposed to be up doing something. And I don't mean going to the ice box, fixing your ham and cheese on Ryan a glass of milk either. I'm talking about getting doing something. Oh, but they don't talk like this. Goodness me. Arise therefore and be doing, and the Lord shall be with thee. Do not merely live on heavenly food, Christians. But if God be with you as you say he is, then get to doing his work. Right? Praise God for this church. There's workers in it. Whew. Oh, Pastor Paul, if I knew you were going to preach like this, I wouldn't even have turned you on. Well, then turn me off. But before you do, I got a word for you. Arise. When you leave that radio and do something. Well, okay then, what shall I do? Someone says from the radio audience yet. Hey, that's no business of mine what you do. You have to find work for yourself. That's like someone coming to me. I need a job. Oh, well, let's see. Now, where can I find you a job? Stay right here. Stay right here. I'm going to find you some work. No. No. You don't depend on this man or that man, but the first thing the Lord gives you to do, do with all your heart, mind, and soul. God will give you something to do. You ask him, he'll give you something to do. Sometimes it's not what we want to do. We say, that's not God. That's the devil. How do I know it's really the will of God? You know, because the very first thing when you ask God something to do, the very first answer you get will be God. The second voice will be the devil. Did you ever do an arithmetic problem when you were a kid and you went down through all the figures? Now I was real good at that because my dad was real good at it because we had to add up all these slips in the cafe. You know, and go around through them, just go right down through them and go right down through them. You know what? The first answer I had was right, and I'd go back and I'd correct it, and I'd put down the second answer, and I'd fail. And the teacher would, at the where I'd crossed it out, the teacher would put the right answer in there, and my first one was right. Don't you trust in the Lord to give you some work? But maybe it isn't the work we want. Oh, but Lord, I don't want to do that. I've been called to be this or that. Lord. You know, Lord, I've been called. You know I've been. No, hey, now you're telling God what you're supposed to do. But what shall I do? I believe, and I'm going to say this again, that sin has so desensitized, so much bored people that they've fallen asleep. Or they wouldn't be putting up. My advice in closing here is get going. Get up. Wake up. Or like I said before, will it take an H-bomb to wake some of us up? You have a cause, and that cause is Christ. It says to put on Christ daily. Pick up your cross daily. Die daily. Despise not little acorn beginning. David also exhorted these people to set their hearts upon what they had to do. And he says, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Ah, but so much of our Christian church is in sort of a celestial going to sleep. The preacher preaches like he's still asleep, and the people roll over and snore just to make it so. Now we have a gospel to spread. We need to ask people, is God with you? And then we need to tell them if they say no. I don't even know of such a God. I don't even know about being born again. Well, then let me tell you of the God that is with me. Come to the water. Come to the fountain. Come to the Savior. And you know something? All over, people are hungering and thirsting after righteousness like never before. Because when they finally open their eyes up and they see how filthy and perverted the world has gotten, they say, no, no, this is not for me. When they look at the kiddie porno, when they look at all this kind of junk that's coming in, I mean, it is a waste. And they look at this vast wilderness and waste, they say, I'm perverted, but I can't go this far. This is perversion beyond me. About a year ago, when they said they had a cure for AIDS, I says, people, they do not have a cure for AIDS. AIDS, you did not listen. You were so anxious to hear them say there was, but they do not have a cure. They said they had, had the beginning, and it was looked very hopeful that they would have something. They worded it so it looked like they did. They're not addressing the problem. Did you know what? They're not addressing the problem. It is going to be one of the most horrendous, I said a year ago, one of the most horrendous diseases that's ever hit this world. And right now it's coming out that AIDS is on the rise. But we're asleep, and so AIDS. Oh yeah, I heard about that. Seems to me there was something about that. What does that mean? Is that a PTA group or what? Don't fall asleep. Don't be found sleeping. Wake up, arise, and the Lord will be with you. And you know something? It says in the end time they're going to call good evil and evil good. And oh my God, I am so fed up with people telling me that I am not spiritual enough. Brother, you're into too much of the works. Well, maybe that's so. But you just heard what I said here tonight. Arise. And the Lord your God will be with you. Don't you let somebody give you the excuse to get out of doing something for God. Oh, brother, but you should go to the seminar over here. They're going to have a seminar. They're going to seminar all the way over to Israel on the boat. And then when they get over there, brother, it's going to be great. They're going to go into the tomb. You know what Jesus is going to say? Why are you here? I'm risen. Why do you come in this old tomb for? Why do you keep bringing me back here? I live. I live in your heart. Why do you have to have a million seminars to know that I'm alive? Don't you believe it? Why are not you the walking, talking epistles known and read of all men? Why are you not busy doing these things that you see me do? You'll do an even greater things you will do. Why aren't you doing those things? And why do you call every man a liar that's doing something for God? Why do you have to add to the hardness of the task by all them evil questionings? Well, I'm not going to weary in doing well. I'm going to tell you why. Because the grace of God is sufficient. God has given us the work to do down here on the north side. You know something? It's working. And if even we just get to do a little portion of what God has got us to do down here, and we pass away and die, go to be with the Father, someone else picks up the plow, so what? If we can't do it all, let's do all we can do. Instead of arguing and fighting with one another on who's more spiritual than the next, and get ourselves in the stall and have someone clean up our dung heaps for us every day while we just lazily chew on our cud and feed. God, that just drives me nuts. It's all right to feed, but boy, you better start to exercise and do a little bit. I'll tell you what, you just be a great big old fat spiritual cow. How many heard this message tonight? Praise the Lord. You know what? It's going to be so exciting in the end times because, you know, God is going to raise up against a standard against all these different things, the AIDS, and all these things, and God says, fear not, for I am with you always. Don't you fear those things. I was out here in the back, and 250 pounds on a spring-loaded garbage thing came down and hit on my wrist. I mean, it was such a loud crack. It came like this, and the bone protruded out here on the side. It was just this week. Look at it. And you know what? It was a week before that that God had, there was a hernia that was popped way out here on my side. And up here preaching, God healed it. You know why? Because I said, God, I haven't got time. Please, Lord, please let me finish this work. Let me do this part. Just let me do this part. And I says, now this bone is popped way out here, God. And they heard that thing way up the street up there. It came down with such a force and crack. And it got about this big around on the end, don't you know? And look at it. You know, I mean, see, I'm not saying that's always the way it's going to be, but you know what? My heart was so into what I was doing. We didn't have a lot of help down here. I said, oh, God, I got to go on. We got visitors coming Monday, Lord. A Jewish gentleman's coming over to see us, Lord, Mr. Rutman. And Mr. Rutman said on the phone, I want to help you out, he says. And I'm going to Rochester. He's 78 years old. Is there anything I can do for you before I leave? And I said, oh, Mr. Rutman, I need help. But we'll talk about that when you come, Mr. Rutman. And you know what? Whenever that you do good, evil is always present. That's all right, because that means good will always overcome it too, doesn't it? It says good will always overcome it. And you just got to turn back to the Word of God. And it all works out. And it's so much fun serving God. I wouldn't, hey, with every trial there is. And, you know, if you're in a trial right now, just get through it because there's another one coming. And why get stuck with the same trial all the time? There's new and exciting ones waiting for you. Praise the Lord. Isn't that right? You know what? And then you can overcome these trials. It says we're more than overcomers through Christ. And you're feeling all sort of weak. Well, then praise God in your weakness. God, I can't go another step. See, Lord says, real good. Now I can carry you. Now I got the reins. Now maybe you'll listen to me now. Your shoe is under the bed, Paul. Is there anyone in here tonight that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody in here that doesn't know Jesus? You can just put up your hand and say, well, I don't know for sure. If you don't know for sure, you can tonight. Because the Word is near you. In your mouth, the Word of faith we preach. That if you confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, thou wilt be saved. Simple. Simple message. So simple. Is there anyone in here that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Just put your hand up. And it isn't being a Sunday school teacher. You could have ushered. You could have been, Methodized and Lutheranized or disciple ministryized. But if you haven't confessed Jesus as Lord, then you're not saved. Is there anyone in here that doesn't know for sure? You just put your hand up and say, I don't know for sure. I would like to know tonight. It takes 30 seconds to know Jesus as your personal Savior. My God, is the hour right now to do it. If ever there was a person that was hardened by the world, skeptical and unbelieving, it was myself. If ever there was a person that was a tremendous con artist, it was myself. But God saved me. Hallelujah. And He can do the very same thing for you. He wants to. Lo, I am with you always. And it won't be too long and them clouds is going to be parting up there and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come with a shout with the archangel. Oh God. I feel it. Sometimes I want to get out of here. I feel it so. Just get that witness in my spirit and I say, ooh, Lord, I'd like to lift right out of here. And then I get my wrist caught in a grinder and then reality comes back and say, Lord, heal his arm that didn't want to get out of here. Or heal his hernia that wanted to have an excuse to quit doing your work. Are you three girls all born again sitting here? Okay. You born again over there? Is there anyone in here that doesn't have Jesus? That's so simple. You know what? You won't be a goody-goody two-shoes right after you got saved. In fact, most of your deliverance comes, and most of your repentance comes after you're saved. God just gives you the spirit of repentance to get saved, and after that, it seems like you're repenting. Oh, I didn't realize I was so filthy, grimy, dirty. You don't realize that until the Spirit of God comes in. His light starts coming in. Because if you realize that, you'd think, well, I'm beyond redemption. Wouldn't you? I know I would have. I mean, I knew I was rotten, but I didn't know I was that rotten. You know what I mean? I thought that, you know, I could cut away a few of the spots on the apple and the rest of it would be fine. But it was rotten right down to the what? The core. Now that's rotten. But God renewed me and made a new person on me. He can do that. You listening on the radio, God can do that for you. Are you born again, honey? Okay. Are you born again, sir? If you don't know for sure, I can pray with you. Would you like me to pray with you right now? Can you pray with me? Come on. Say, Dear Lord Jesus,
Dear Lord Jesus,
I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
And save me.
And save me.
And baptize.
And baptize.
And fill me.
And fill me.
With God's Holy Spirit.
God's Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, it says in the Bible that God knew you before the foundation of the world was even founded. Spiritually speaking, He knew you. You ever been someplace and you said, you know, it seems like I've been here before, or that somebody said the same thing before? That's just a little bit of a peek of what God knows about us. He sees into the future. You're made in God's image, you know? And remember that people are really precious. They are all made in God's image. And you know, and the devil, it says, has taken them, but God calls them back. He's calling people in from all over. Whew. All over. You know, it would have blessed you if you would have seen me with all these, you know, these like 100 and some men standing down there and says, guys, come on, guys. Let's get along and let's forgive one another. And they all said, yeah. Don't you know that was the Spirit of the Lord? I tell you, there's going to come a time when all the wine jugs are going to be cast into the dump. And that's just what's happening right now. People from all over. God is sending us people in from court referrals that nobody wants. And they said, well, it seems like the people at Disciples Ministry, if anybody can do it, they can. Well, I say, it isn't us. It's the grace of God. And those people leave out of here smiling and happy and working souls. Why? They got born again. That's the secret. So then you just tell the court, you say, well, what happened to that person? Say, well, he got born again. And we're getting them from all over. I wouldn't be surprised if a busload of people came up from Stillwater Prison and they dropped them off right here.
So with utility.